A partial government shutdown comes at what would have been an extremely busy moment at the IRS. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. The official jargon uses lapse in appropriations instead of government shutdown. As you've been hearing, many government functions remain open. The post office, the bank deposit insurance people at the FDIC, veterans hospitals. But hundreds of thousands of government workers are being told to stay out of the office today. This includes the tax people, the Internal Revenue Service, Marketplace's senior reporter Kimberly Adams is here live from our Washington Bureau.
Right, David. According to the IRS shutdown contingency plan, the agency would furlough more than half of its 80,000-plus employees. The ones who will keep working are those whose jobs are deemed essential, things like law enforcement activity or people who do things like cybersecurity.
All right. What's this mean, though, for tax season here?
So I chatted a bit about this today with Mark Mazur of the Urban Brookings Tax Policy Center. And this morning, he said the shutdown could interrupt some of the preparations for tax season this year.
There's a lot of programming that needs to be done in order to accept returns, and testing is done continuously through the process. Often, as you get toward very close to the filing season, there may be glitches that crop up.
And it's hard to catch those glitches when you're not at work. He says if the shutdown only lasts a couple of days, that's not too big of a deal. But if it stretches into weeks, that could become a bigger issue. On the other hand, we still have to pay our taxes, even if the IRS workers are not at work.
Yeah, Natch. And the IRS also has some work to do looking ahead to the next tax year.
Right. They're still working on the implementation of the new tax law. And with the furloughs, most of the folks who might answer the phones and questions won't be available to the public. But again, this won't be a huge issue if the shutdown only lasts a few days, but could become a bigger issue later.
Kimberly, thank you. We're also covering the Centers for Disease Control telling 63% of its staff to stay home with the government shutdown, even though the flu epidemic rages. This year, the Marketplace team will explore how the great financial crisis changed us in a project we call Divided Decade. And while many peg the crisis to September 2008, when Lehman Brothers collapsed, markets seized up and the economy started bleeding jobs, the wave of foreclosures had started earlier. Then, 10 years ago today, the Federal Reserve surprised the world by cutting the cost of borrowing after an emergency meeting. During that period, Randall Krosner served as a governor of the Federal Reserve System. In fact, he chaired its Committee on Supervision and Regulation of Banking Institutions at the height of the financial crisis. Now he's a professor of economics at Chicago's Booth School of Business. Professor, thanks for coming into that studio.
Great to be with you.
I don't want to trigger, a post-traumatic stress reaction here, but if we go back 10 years ago, January of 2008, that was a tense time for you and the team there.
It was an incredibly challenging time. We were having board meetings and all sorts of meetings all through the weekends. For many organizations, we tried to have them survive until Friday, and then we would work frantically over the weekend to try to prevent something from spreading. Confidence was dropping very rapidly. That was reflected in downward pressure in stock markets. There were lots of concerns about the housing market, and so there were a whole bunch of factors that were coming together. It was not a pretty beginning to 2008.
One would hope you had an emergency playbook that you could open to know a protocol to follow in an emergency like this. Was that the case?
Something like this really hadn't happened since the 1930s. And Ben Bernanke, myself, and one of the other governors had studied the Great Depression and looked at what the Fed did and, most importantly, didn't do. In the 1930s, the Fed stood by, did nothing, as the unemployment rate shot to over 20%, GDP fell by 30%, the price level fell by a third. We were not going to make that mistake.
Now, hindsight, we do have the benefit of it. Do you wish you were doing something then in the moment that you didn't do that might have made 2008 turn out a little bit better?
The one thing that I really think we would have benefited from is having a clearer perspective on all of the market interlinkages. The Fed is a bank regulator, so we were primarily focused on banks. The Securities and Exchange Commission was focusing on investment banks. There was not as much of a look at the overall structure of the system, the interconnections of the system, and the fragilities that could move from one market or one institution to another. And I think we've tried to address that subsequently, but that's one of the things that I wish we'd had more information on, and I think none of the regulators had that focus because they tended to focus on their set of institutions they were responsible for without being able to see the bigger picture.
Well, now we have, you're alluding to it, the Financial Stability Oversight Council, and that might give us a greater sense in the next crisis of who's connected to whom.
It's a step in the right direction. I don't think the problems have been solved, but I think there's much more of a focus on looking at the cracks rather than just looking at the institutions themselves, but looking at the potential fragile interconnections between institutions and between markets. Will we be able to predict those? The only thing that is certain is we won't be able to predict those with certainty, but will we be a bit better prepared because we have a bit more coordination and more information sharing? Yes, but we still don't have that completely worked out.
Randall Krosner was a Fed governor through 2009. He chaired the Fed's Committee on Supervision and Regulation of Banking Institutions during the financial crisis. He's now at the University of Chicago's Booth School of Business. Professor, thank you for this.
Thank you very much.
10 years ago yesterday, stock markets around the world started collapsing, but U.S. markets had a holiday Monday off. Well, 10 years ago today, it was the Fed's first emergency interest rate cut since 9/11, and so much drama and heartache to come. This year, Marketplace will be looking at the financial crisis and how it changed us in a project called Divided Decade. For some of the scale of this, we produced a video at marketplace.org/divided decade. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.